Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 9 of The Coriolis Effect, the Dragon Meat Grindbone Special. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Dave. And apart from working with Muppets, today we've got an action-packed episode which is going to be looking back at our day at Dragon Meat and the Grindbone tournament that we ran on that day. And that's going to be pretty much the majority of this episode. It's going to be Match of the Day for Grindbone. But
Match of the Day. Exactly. And which of us is Gary Lineker?
I'm not sure.
I think it boils down to which of us eats the most crisps.
Ooh, that's a close call, that one, considering...
It is close, isn't it?
You're Gary and I'm Lineker. Something like that.
Right.
Anyway. But we do want to say a little bit about the world of gaming before we get into talking about the tournament. And Matthew and I will be commentating on what's going on in the tournament, with interspersed with lots of live action, recorded action that was once live back in December.
Highlights, yes. Just like they do on Match of the Day.
Just like they do on Match of the Day, indeed. So, moving swiftly on, Matthew, you had a couple of things in the world of gaming that you wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to give a hard stare to Friel again, because they've got a Kickstarter out for a game that I don't understand. Now, you speak Swedish. Have you worked out what it is?
I don't really speak Swedish. I just hasten to add. I speak a few rude words of Swedish that my wife taught me. And
that's it.
And I can say the man is reading the newspaper in Swedish.
Right.
But
and at any point on the latest Kickstarter, does it say the man is reading the newspaper or any rude words?
Not that I noticed, no.
So what we're talking about here is something called Mutant Hindenburg, which is being kickstarted, and of course all our Swedish fans will know about it already and have signed up for it, but if not, it's being kickstarted now. Go and read it. It's in Swedish. See if you can make sense of it, if you can. It looks like, from the pictures, some sort of steampunky urban environment, but that's about all I can work out.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what's what it's all about. But I mean, the good thing is that I can be guilt-free in not backing this one, because obviously I don't read or speak Swedish. So that's a good one. Otherwise, I would have been feeling the pressure to back it just because it's the guys from Free League.
Yeah. Yeah, I might be feeling the pressure to back, though, the Kickstarter that starts next week, which will be this Friday, if you're listening to this as soon as we put it up. And that is a very lovely looking edition of Call of Cthulhu.
Mm. As in the story,
say,
Call of Cthulhu, rather than the game Call of Cthulhu.
Right, yeah. Chaosium are quite happily publishing lovely looking editions of the Call of Cthulhu RPG. No, this is the short story novella. But it looks to be very beautifully illustrated. So I might be tempted. We'll see about that. And the other thing that isn't a Kickstarter, but is a pre-order and is close to my heart, is Knights Black Agents. Now, you and I have played one game of Knights Black Agents, haven't we, on my 50th birthday?
Just the once, yeah, indeed. It was very good, really good.
And in fact, you liked it so much. Did you buy the full... a core book?
I did.
Before or after then?
No, after then. Yeah, because I enjoyed it. The game was such good fun. I haven't actually really done other than take it down from my shelf and have a little flick through the pages. I haven't had a chance to play it. But it's on my shelf. I can see it from where I'm sitting.
Well, this is the problem, of course. Our group gets together so irregularly, and we're now kind of like beholden to our fans to, the next game we've got scheduled is... Forbidden Lands, isn't it? So as a group, I can't see us playing it very much in the future.
No.
But Gumshoe, which is the core system for Knights Black Agents, comes with a one-to-one variant that you and I playtested a couple of years ago. And that one-to-one variant has now got a Knights Black Agent flavour called Knights Black Agent Solo Ops.
Okay, cool.
So that is currently out on the Pelgrane Press website for pre-order, And if you pre-order it now, you'll get the PDF straight away, but it'll take a little bit of time for them to print it and send you the hardback.
Nice.
So, yeah, I think I might have to get that. And maybe we can... the other thing they've said is they've designed this one specifically for online play. Now, if you remember last time, we had all those cards and tokens that we were playing online, but that we hadn't worked out how to use those.
Yeah, it was quite hard work playing it online last time, I felt. I don't think it did the game as much justice as it perhaps deserved.
No. Well, I think some of the feedback we gave, they changed it for the final version. Yeah, and they made some tools for online play in the final version. But we prefer face-to-face anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Indeed. Cool.
Shall we crack on with Dragon Meat?
I think we should, because there's quite a lot of highlights we want to play. And obviously we want to talk about it. And the word that we were talking about, which is perhaps one of our biggest failings, if it is a word, is loquacity. The tendency to be loquacious, as in talk a lot, not shut up. So
I don't think that's a failing at all. I think that for a podcast is what you want.
Well, to a point.
You know, if we were just 15 minutes long, what would be the point?
Well, I know, but to a point. You know, we do kind of like blather on somewhat sometimes, but people don't seem to mind. So my word of the day is loquacity. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, I'll leave that for others to judge. But
okay, my word of the day will be short then. Let's keep our commentary short.
That's a very boring word compared to loquacity.
It is. It's a shorter word than loquacity as well.
Maybe we should be anti-loquacitous. Anti-loquacitous.
Or short.
Anyway, okay, moving swiftly on.
Dragon Meat. I mean, we had a whale of fun at Dragon Meat. We talked about it a couple of episodes ago. I mean, it was so busy. I'd never worked so hard at Dragon Meat as I did that time. But it was great fun.
It was.
And what made it great fun were all the people who joined us for the Grindbone Challenge.
Yeah. And there were a lot of them. And there were actually more than we could accommodate. So one of the things that was a bit of a disappointment was that not everybody who wanted to play could actually get to play. Which was great because it showed people were really interested in the tournament and in Forbidden Lands as a game. But just, you know, a bit unfortunate that some people didn't get to take part.
Yeah, yeah. And for us, of course, we had played it before. But in fact, it was a really good, I don't want to say practice, that's the wrong word to say. But it was a bit of a baptism of fire for us as well. Churning out those, you know, teaching people the game, many of whom had never played it before. And at the same time, getting through the, what was it, 16 players in total that we had?
Yep, 7 fights there was in total.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I'm not quite sure how well we managed it, sort of dual hand, you know, double handing the GMing of it. Because I think it's quite a long table. There was often stuff where I was talking to people at one end, you were helping somebody at the other. So I think sometimes the recordings can sound a bit chaotic, which it was.
Yeah, I mean,
but I think that's the nature of the beast.
Particularly, we had a bit of a challenge here with two things. One of which was the recording setup we were using, and it's one of the reasons why we're only doing highlights. We'd been loaned the recording setup. But the guy who set it up, although it came with lots of lovely mics pointing in all the right directions, it wasn't actually properly plugged into the computer. So everything was recorded on the laptop's own mic, which worked quite well, actually, for your voice, because you were sitting right in front of it. And for most of the voices, when people were talking at you... But yeah, particularly when I'm off down one end of the table talking to somebody else, that's not very good. So we're cutting most of that crap out. It gets very distorted.
Yeah. So that was just a bit unfortunate. But actually, for a laptop microphone, it did pretty well, I thought, when I haven't
Yeah, a lot better than the episode that we recorded of Forbidden Lands that was just coming through my laptop mic.
Yeah.
Which
we're not going to broadcast.
Basically, we ditched. Yeah.
Right then. Anyway, so... let's crack on. We were going to be quiet and short, but we're now at 10 minutes already. So
yeah, so we'll tackle the rest in the next 20 minutes. You mark my words.
Let's see, shall we? So let's move on.
So in full Gary Lineker mode, I think we ought to have a quick look at the pitch first. Have you got a pitch report or maybe the introduction to the first round of the Grindbone Challenge?
Welcome to the first Grindbone Slavers Tournament. Here in Grindbone, we have the first four contestants in two teams. We have Matthias, Sam, Lars, and Paul in our two teams of two who are going to fight it out here in the Slavers Square in Grindbone. The Slavers Square itself is kind of like a theatre in the round. You've got seating carved into the wall on one side. You have wooden seating on the other. On one side, you have an awning where the town elders stand and manage the proceedings. In the centre, you've got a raised area with three stakes and chains attached to them, which is where slaves tend to be executed if they're not being sold.
Okay, and you mentioned Matthias there. That we ought to make clear that that's Matthias from Free League who joined us for that first round.
Indeed, yeah. Matthias Jonsson, or Matthias Jonsson Hucker, as he's now known, having got married recently. Congratulations.
Oh, has he?
Last 6 months ago, I think it was now. But excellent. Yes, so there we had our first four victims for the Grindbone tournament.
And it was, although he's from Freeligan, of course, he's also from Team Simbaroom. So I think this might have been his first time playing Forbidden Lands.
Quite possibly. Yeah, absolutely. And not that there's any rivalry whatsoever within the new Free League between the Simbaroom and the Forbidden Lands teams.
None at all. No. Except for him pleading, how can they call this a beautiful game? This is a beautiful game! Holding up Simbaroom.
Yes, yes.
So let's hear the players introduce their characters.
Okay, I'm acting as the peddler Dorothy. I don't have anything with me save my spy glasses. I don't know what that is. Is it like
a telescope?
Is it? Yeah, it is. Okay, that can be used as a weapon.
But a hidden paper thing.
So I'm here because I may have smuggled some stuff into town that wasn't supposed to be sold here. Might have been something to do with drugs. Maybe.
Justifiably in prison then. Sam.
I'm an orc. I just found myself here.
You've been caught by the slavers. Lars.
Yeah, I am half Tarn, the half elf sorcerer, and I'm an artist. And I am here because I wrote a poem, a right poem about the wrong guy. Or the wrong poem about the right guy.
Cool.
Paul. I'm Ori. I'm an Orglander. I'm a steprider, proud steprider, and I'm here because somebody tried to steal my horse, and I might have killed them.
So yeah, we might just want to explain briefly that in the recordings you may get some unusual references to dice colours, and that's because we were using my very large stock of Mutant Year Zero dice, so we had dice across the table, rather than having to pass our small supply of Forbidden Lands dice around the table. We explained initiative, and we explained the rules to the guys.
And we don't want to bore you guys with us explaining to each group of people in every heat how the rule system works. So we've cut most of that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I thought it's worth listening perhaps to a couple of the mechanics in play. And particularly the first time anybody cast a spell.
Yeah.
And that was Lars.
Lars playing Half Them, the Half Elf.
Lars.
the range of the spells are?
That's a good question.
The range of the spells.
Your spells will work pretty much automatically. Range. What spells have you got?
Stun.
And what school are you in?
The Song of Stone. Path of Stone.
Path of Stone.
I think that is a oral spell, so you sing that.
Yeah.
So you.
So you could basically shout it at him.
Anybody within hearing range will be affected by it.
Anyone?
Yeah.
Everyone.
Oh. Doesn't he choose?
If you get. Depending on how much damage you do.
Yeah.
On how successful your spell is, you get to choose how many people it affects. So.
Or who it affects.
At the very least, it will deal 1 point of damage if you just succeed. So you choose whoever it is that you want to be affected by that.
Okay.
If you get more points of damage, you can put them all on one person or spread it around.
So it's a willpower roll. So
yeah.
It's a magic roll. So you need to decide how many points of willpower you're going to invest in it. You have 3 to start the round. You only get them back when you push a roll and take damage from it. So use them.
I take 1, which counts as 2, if I get that right.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Psychic power, the first VP used counts as 2.
Okay, so that's so use 1 and then roll 2 yellow dice.
2 yellow dice and just 2 yellow
that's
dice.
That's it, yep. You can't fail. This will take effect, but it depends whether it's...
Yes. So you do 1 point of damage to... 1
2.
Point of...
It's 2 agility because it's 2 willpower is used.
Oh, it's used to 1.
Yeah.
2
agility, isn't it?
Yeah, just...
So you can choose to do 2 to Sam or 2 to Matthias or 1 to each of them.
1 to each of them. 1 to each of them.
Okay.
Guys, can you roll...
No, not for this.
Can
so,
you roll insight?
Does it matter what colour?
So your form, your insight form...
Yeah. Insight.
Insight is wits. So
plus
you roll wits plus 1. What do you roll?
2 plus wits, so you roll
6 dice. So this is your defence against that. And for this
that,
one...
That one was short range? Two.
Yes. Yeah.
So on these dice, what the
skill
dice
so,
are the base dice?
The base dice are the yellow, skill dice are green. So take as many green dice as you use your skill,
so
and as many
two.
Yellow as
and
your...
Then, yeah,
as your.
Take 3.
Yeah.
And that.
Yeah.
And you need to get 1 6. Okay, yeah, you have 1 6. So
you managed to fight off the effects of the spell.
Boom. So I take 3 of those.
Boom.
One of those.
Yep.
Haha.
1.
Okay, you managed to resist that as well.
Boom.
Okay. So, Matthias, it's your action.
Actually, I don't know whether it showed, but of course, I've never run a magical character. There's been an NPC that's done some magic for you in our campaign, but none of you player characters are magic. So this was actually the first time I think any of us had actually GM'd a magic user.
Yeah, we were both frantically reading the magic rules on sort of the day before and on the way up to Dragon Meet, because just suddenly thought, okay, I've never played the magic rules before. But they're really good, and they are slightly, the mechanic is slightly different from the rest, in that the magic will happen. You know, there will be some element of success, but also there is a real chance you get a mishap, as Lars found out to his rather painful outcome.
Yeah, I think in a way all our magic users found that out, didn't they?
Well, there is a great moment later on which we shan't spoil. But you know, foreshadowing,
no.
More magic used to come in a later bout.
Indeed, it is. And of course, one of the challenges of this format is it doesn't give magic user player characters the opportunity to prepare in the way they might otherwise do to minimise risk. Grimoires, collecting. You know, the physical components,
the right ingredients
magic,
and stuff,
etc.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. But the actual, you know, the mishap table is pretty grim. You know, if you don't need to roll that high for things to start going badly wrong. So as with all these kind of something goes wrong mechanic in Free League games, it can quickly go from wrong to very wrong to dead.
To very, very wrong. Don't spoil it.
I'm not
Don't
spoiling
spoil
anything.
It, Dave.
No.
Matthias used one of his talents, or I should say Dorothy's talents, to scrabble around in the dust, and she found a dagger,
which then gave Paul, what's Paul's character called?
Paul was called Orin. Orin the Alderlander Rider.
So then he had the choice of shooting Matreus or Sam.
Well, let's listen to what he decided. Before we get there, I think we just need to point out, I think we played that slightly wrong, although it doesn't actually matter. So the actual talent that Matthias was using for his character Dorothy, it's a peddler talent. It's called the Path of Many Things, and the talent basically says you have a knapsack, and in that it's like not wanting to be chauvinistic. It's like somebody's handbag or purse that you could find anything in, we played it without having realised that it basically meant you could find things around you. And that worked
in your surroundings.
Yeah, and that worked quite well, I think. So a note for anyone who's sort of listening in thinking, that's not how that talent works. No, it's not how that talent works, but I think it worked really well narratively in terms of that situation.
So Sam is nearer.
Oh, shoot, Sam. Sorry, Sam.
Okay.
One hit.
One success?
No, two.
Two successes.
Three.
Now you, to one. So you can, those are ones, so your bow goes twang and your bonus goes down by one because of that one on the black die. You can push it if you wanted to, but you would take a point of damage as a result of the number one that you've got there.
No.
That will give you a willpower point as well.
Still here.
Okay, so you've hit him. What's the damage of the bow?
It is 1 point of damage.
Okay, so that's 2 points of damage.
I have four armor.
Now, there's a thing here, Dave. Actually, I've just noticed this on listening to these excerpts. I'm not sure whether it's what happens in Mutant Year Zero, but every time a gear dice rolls a one, you tell them that their weapon is damaged. And I was pretty sure it was only if they pushed their roll that they got that weapon damage.
Certainly in Mutant, if you get any damage on your gear, regardless, your gear takes damage. So I'm assuming it's the same for Forbidden Lands. It's certainly not.
I think it isn't for Forbidden Lands.
Okay.
But nobody seemed to care. They all seemed to accept the damage as it came. And the other thing, I think, is that when people's weapons broke, when they get down to zero, they're broken, and you were giving them at least one more point below zero. So it all swings and roundabouts, mate. It all evens out in the end.
I think this, for me anyway, the idea of, if you hit somebody with something, it doesn't really matter whether you're pushing your body to its limits and potentially then hurting yourself, whether it gets damaged or not. So I'm quite happy with that. I can check the rules for Forbidden Lands, but...
We don't need to check the rules. I checked them before we started recording this.
Did
mate.
You?
I'm right.
Did you? Okay. Well, I am.
Ones only take effect when you
play. I am the best GM. So, I get to decide. I get to change it and make it better.
Yeah, I'm just the one that follows the rules, mate. So, Sam, the orc.
The unnamed orc.
The unnamed orc. We were particularly cruel with all these characters. They'd rolled up their characters before the Grindbone Challenge using the Legends and Adventurers Toolkit. But we didn't let them take any equipment other than that which they acquired in Legends and Adventures.
I mean, that was... I think that was quite funny, really, because in one sense, absolutely right, you're a slave. You wouldn't be going in with, all the weapons and things you might want. But secondly, going in with other items that you might not otherwise...
Like your donkey.
Like your donkey. or a cooking pot. For example, seems a bit weird, but that was how we played it anyway.
Yes, it worked. It was good fun. Everybody took it in the right spirit. Sam, I think, was very grateful for the armor he was wearing, which absorbed some of the blow of that arrow. But he was short of a weapon. So, Walt, in the next segment, we can hear how he dealt with that.
There's your action now, Sam.
Okay. Can I go up to that and actually try and rip out the thing as a weapon?
The chain.
The pole and the chain. God, I haven't used your might for that. Is an orc.
If you've got might, I think you can have a go.
Two skill dice. The strength is now down to four dice.
Has he been wounded?
Come on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. You rip it up.
Okay. That's your action this round. It's quite. It's going to be like a heavy club, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've with a roar, you tear this thing out of the ground.
Well, that's one of the things I love about role-playing games, where you get a player with a bit of imagination and a stat that helps and a good die roll that allows you to pull a post that people are generally chained to be executed out of the ground and then hit people with it. You know, that would make a really good cinematic moment if we were to put this on film. And was an excellent bit of play, I thought. It was really good.
Yeah, throughout the tournament, we saw more and more improvisational play take place as people got used to the idea that we weren't going to be throwing them swords or whatever. So that was all really good and fun to watch.
Yeah.
Really good fun. We were like an audience rather than a game master. Now, you mentioned earlier on how magic can backfire, and that's what happens to Lars in this next highlight.
So roll D66.
Okay.
Say which dice you're going to read 10. First. Black is 10.
Black is 10.
Ah, 65.
That's shitty bad. That's bad.
The spell backfires. An offensive spell affects you instead of your intended target.
Okay.
A protective or healing spell wounds instead of healing. What's the spell, was it?
Stun.
It's so stun.
You take 3 points to agility.
3 points to agility. I'm down.
No.
Well, that's the risk you take when you make a bold play like using magic, isn't it? You run the risk that you get yourself a mishap, and then rolling a 65 in any sense, in any free league game, is likely to be a bad thing if you're on the sharp end of that dice roll. And poor old Lars was certainly on the sharp end of that dice roll. Being broken by
He dealt himself.
Yeah, he dealt himself, what, 3 damage?
Yeah.
But then, you know, as a sorcerer, you have to take that risk sometimes. And in the middle of a combat like this, what else was he going to do? So you pay your money and you take your choice. And for Lars, it means you kind of quiver on the spot and fall over in a bit of a fit.
So Lars has the glory of being the first player to be knocked out in the Grindbone tournament. Yeah. So let's see what happens when our unnamed orc swings his makeshift club at Orin.
And you've got
and
then
the damage will be plus one.
Okay.
Okay, so if your fast action is to swing and your slow action is to attack.
Okay.
So you're rolling melee, which is one green dice.
And your strength.
And your strength, which is down, isn't it?
So it's 4 now.
Yeah, 4.
Yep.
4 of those.
And
plus one for your club.
And 2 damage.
Yeah,
you
definitely hit. Yeah,
so you roll those and then you will get 3 damage on this one if you succeed. 1 success. So that's 3 damage on strength.
4.
Didn't he attack me?
You
do have your fast action.
So you get a dodge if you want.
Is Paul broken?
I am broken.
Okay. Right. We have winners.
Yeah. So the first round goes to... Team Simbaroo.
Team
Dorothy and...
Well, that was a good fight and a really, really excellent example of some clever play and the benefits of having a orc using a tree to hit people with. So, bout one is over and we have Team Dorothy going through to the semi-finals. Round 2 came on quick on its heels of round 1. In this bout, we had an all-elf team of AJ playing Halor and Ben playing Donnie. One's a fighter, one's a peddler. Against a wolfman and Aslane fighter, Julian playing Jabari and Peter playing Bostick. Let's see how they get on.
My name's Jabari, hunter, wolf.
My name's Peter Ryan, human, Aslane, Bostick, and he's a fighter.
Hey, I'm AJ. I'm playing Halor Swiftblade, who's an elf fighter.
Ooh. Hey, I'm Donnie Pockets, legitimate caravaneer.
Whatever that is.
I want to lend him my short spear.
Before the fight, I managed to grab a few words with AJ, who AJ and Ben both appear on the Pretending with Dice podcast, and AJ's often a GM. I just talked with him a little bit about that podcast and his character. I'm with AJ. AJ, you're GM for which podcast?
I'm the GM for Pretending with Dice.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And you run a whole bunch of games. So I listened to a Star Trek game you ran last year.
Yeah. We tend to do short story arcs kind of on one game system, and then we'll switch to another game system, maybe switch up the players. And then we've got an ongoing D&D group as well, which we kind of will play a story arc with D&D, then we'll switch to another group, then we'll come back to those same D&D characters. But yeah, mostly we're sort of trying a bit of everything, really.
And so what are you playing currently?
Our current episodes that are going up are our third D&D storyline. In the new year, we're going to be running a Call of Cthulhu story.
Excellent.
Which is a little bit different because none of us had run the game or played the game before. We've recorded some of it already.
So I want to have a chat with my colleague Dave. He used to run Cthulhu a lot.
Right. Yeah. I'll have to touch base with him.
Yeah.
See how that goes. But. We're trying a couple of new things this time around.
Brilliant. And you're going to join the Grindbone tournament.
We just
rolled up a character. Do you want to tell me a little bit about him?
Yeah, I'm playing Halor Swiftblade as an elf fighter. He's very insistent that he never betrays his friends. But it's the dark secret of he sometimes hits the bottle to take away the memories of all those he killed.
Brilliant. And we haven't got a partner for you yet.
We'll see how that goes.
A friend you don't need to betray. So thanks, AJ, and
nice.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Cool.
So Jabari, the Wolfkin, does quite well at the beginning of this fight by shooting at AJ for a point of damage. And then his teammate, Peter, what was his name? Bostic. He's quite well armoured, isn't he? Or
He was an armoured fighter. Should have been one of the favourites, I would say, for the entire thing.
Well, let's not give away the ending. But he moved in, recognising that Jabari had good ranged combat, but was relatively weak on the defence side. He moved tactically to get between Jabari and his opponents, hoping to defend him. But then we saw a really closely fought melee between Halor and Bostic. Let's listen to that.
A lot of dice.
Okay, three successes.
Okay. Doing all right.
So that's enough to do... What damage does your sword do?
Damage 2.
Okay, so that's four damage
total. Okay.
Unless you want to push it.
I'm happy with 4 for now. I think I don't.
So he has got armor. You can tell he's got.
Okay.
He's got
maybe,
good armor.
Maybe
on.
Not then. Yeah, I might push it.
So,
okay. So what does that
basically, just
now?
Roll everything that hasn't got a 6 or a 1.
Okay, that's not green.
So it's basically all of those dice. If you get any ones on the yellow dice, that will take damage off your strength.
Right. Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's 5 hits.
Yeah.
So, Peter, your armor has got a rating of 6.
Yeah, and I've got a helm as well, 3.
So how does the helm work? It's the same as Tengrail. He's got the same armor as I have.
Is that
9 dice for armor?
That's 9 dice for armor.
So 9 black dice.
9 black dice.
For every success you get, you take away one of his successes.
Right. And if I roll ones, it comes off the armour.
Comes off the armour, yeah.
So those two will reduce your armour bonus. You've got 2 successes.
Right, so.
So you lose 2, so you take 4 damage to your strength.
Right. No, 2.
Yeah, I've taken those off already.
Because
he had 5 successes. Your 2 successes take 2 of his successes away.
All right.
That one does 2 damage and the rest do 1 each.
All right, okay.
So it's a total of 4 damage.
Okay.
Clang!
And your armour goes down by 2 points.
Solid hit.
That's a definite solid hit. The crowd go, "Ooh!" And then are amazed to see Peter still standing.
Well, Bostic took a hit there that was just like, you know, being, you know, sideswiped by Mike Tyson. And that was like, you know, the real demonstration of resilience and, you know, having lots of dice in your armour, how important that can be in Forbidden Lands. But great toe-to-toe stuff. between Halor and Bostic, right there in the middle of the arena.
Yeah, and teammate Donny, although he's unarmed and unarmored, he tries to take advantage of Peter by trying a grapple.
In for a penny, in for a pound, guys. yeah, I'm going to try and grapple whichever one you tried to murder.
Okay, yep. That's Peter. So it's a melee, it's a contested melee roll, I think.
Yes, it is. So you're now
one.
Rolling
so
one.
So it's your strength, Donny.
Oh, just one
four.
Dice.
In yellow dice.
Melee, yeah. Yeah.
And melee in green dice.
So one melee.
That's right.
And you need to get four successes from him.
Green dice are your skill dice.
Yeah.
So they
it's one success.
Yeah, one success.
So one dice is your...
You can push those if you wanted to get more successes.
And you'll need three successes. Four successes.
Four. Oh, he's got three.
Right. You want some real tussle.
But you take 1 point of damage to strength.
That's a bad one.
Because you pushed the roll and he rolled a one.
And you managed to fight the grapple off.
Okay.
Right. Well, you know, maybe if you are a little elf peddler trying to grapple a Aslin human fighter with a nothing more than a blanket, then what do you expect? You know, I think, 10 out of 10 for effort, but minus several million for good thinking, perhaps.
I get the impression that Donny is a bit of a chancer.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Worth a try. It was not a bad idea to try doing that. But
now, one of the things I noticed throughout the day was that there seemed to be a distinct advantage to being an archer. Ranged combat generally seemed to work.
Yes.
But in this next shot, let's see how Julian does.
Ooh, two more ones.
So you can push those other four, but you will take two damage to agility and break yourself.
So probably we
have
one of
them. Unwise. That's very bad, I suggest. Okay. Peter, it's your action.
Well, I'm just sticking with my spear.
What's the hit, though?
Two sixes and one.
So that one only counts if you push.
Oh,
which I guess you're not going to.
So what's your damage? What are you...
Using the spear.
What's the damage of the spear?
My short spear is one.
One plus two.
So it's two damage.
Two damage, okay.
On strength.
Unless, so do you have any actions? No, you don't.
I don't have any actions. I haven't got anything to block it with or anything.
So it's two damage, two strength.
I'm down to one in strength.
Ouch.
He is supposed to carry me.
Sitting at this table seem to lose, don't
you? Getting
No.
So it's calling it a bit early there.
AJ, it's your action, mate. It's your action.
That's right. Well, I'm not very happy about getting stuck with the spear and shot, but die, yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Fingers crossed.
Two successes.
So you can safely push that.
Yeah, I think I'm
because
good.
There are no yellow dice left.
Ooh.
Another success.
Three successes.
Yeah.
Your sword, though, is worn, so take.
Your sword goes down to plus
down
one.
Minus one.
That's down to plus one.
So you need to roll your armor, Peter.
So that's three for
seven now, is it? Yeah, total.
I'm confident in this. Eight. Three against seven, it should be.
You've got to get three successes. Oh no! His armor splinters. Get the critical hit tables. His armor splinters as your sword goes through it. You take.
But somehow you managed to hit me on the head on the way down.
Your helmet comes off and bounces along.
We said your the helmet's gone.
Is that a slash?
And yeah, let's say it's a slash.
Okay, roll.
So roll
d66. Tell me which is tens.
Any particular?
Just two different colours. Doesn't matter. This is for the critical hit you inflict on Peter.
Yellow's are tens.
I've only got one strength.
You're broken. You're broken. Yeah.
44. Punctured lung.
Yes.
You'll die within, roll 1d6.
Four
days.
Okay, you're down, I'm afraid.
So I can still win the fight.
No, you're down. Well, yeah, you might. If Julian wins.
Yeah.
Donny, it's your action. Well, it looks like this fight is all over, bar the shouting, potentially. It's coming right down to it now. AJ is going to try and hit Julian. Can we see if he's going to dodge?
How much strength do you have?
I have four.
Okay, you're going to take four damage, unless you dodge.
Okay, so, I think I'll dodge.
So make a roll. So it's, there's one yellow die.
One yellow die.
And you need a six, otherwise you're down.
No.
Nope.
Yeah. Right.
Woof.
Well, unlucky guys.
Hey, I'm
good,
one, yeah.
good fight.
You claimed a spear.
Yeah, what were the stats for that spear on
it? You don't have it next time round, I'm afraid.
Oh, God.
No, you're taken off by the guards. You're taking the guards' cover.
So, that's heat two done. Personally, I think heat three was possibly the most exciting of the early heats. We had on one side Chris and Justine, and Chris was playing
a wolfkin rogue called Garnak.
Garnak. Yep. For some reason, my notes have auto-corrected to Granada. I'm sure that wasn't his
name.
No,
that wasn't his name.
And Justine was playing Talim, and she was another sorcerer.
She was.
And then we had another couple of celebrities opposing them. We had Nils from Fir Lagan, and one likes to think behind Forbidden Land, so I expect him to be a top player, knowing all the ways to use the game rules to his advantage. And from these Flimsy Things podcast, we had Ziz.
Isn't it These Flimsy Rituals?
No, you're right. These Flimsy
Rituals.
Get
it right, William.
Sorry, Ziz, for getting your podcast name wrong.
You see, Ziz, what I have to deal with? I already said I'm working with Muppets already.
Well, let's listen to them introduce themselves.
We already know you're a rogue. What's your kit?
Yes, so I am a wolfkin rogue named Garnak.
I'm Justine, and I'm playing Talene, the stone sorcerer, a human.
Oh, my name's Chris, by the way.
My name is Nils. I'm playing Grimer, the goblin hunter.
I'm one of the men behind the game.
Yes.
Woo!
And I'm Ziz. I am playing Ziz, the goblin, who is also a hunter.
Yeah, obviously I'm expecting Nils to really show us his expert knowledge of the game, and he appeared to do so right at the beginning of this bout by taking command.
Okay, I suggest we attack in unison. Maybe?
Okay. I'm with that.
Oh, okay. And I'm five, okay. So I suggest that, and then I run away. and I try
to... Let's go, team.
Excellent.
I'm going to try to jump up on the hill. Is that possible?
That is, yes. Easy. It's easily done,
Because I want to attack from above.
Well, that's a really good thing for a partner to do to his partner, but let's have a listen and see how Ziz copes with the strategy of her partner.
Yeah, I think actually Ziz pulls a blinder here and deserves the award as best archer.
So things that are raised that are not covered in people, potentially that awning. Is it possible to get onto that awning?
You could try and climb it, absolutely. Yeah, there are people, it's like a...
Is it like a guarded awning? Like,
it's an awning where the great and good of the town are sitting, eating grapes and stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Great. Okay. So you scamper across the sandy arena, and it's a temporary awning. It's got lots of wooden bits sticking out. You scamper straight onto the top.
Well, yeah, I think that's an excellent move. A good little bit of imaginative thinking. Take the high ground and make the most of that high ground where you can. Nobody else had thought to climb up on the awnings to that point. So.
No, I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah,
actually.
I thought it was
good thinking. Taking advantage of the scenery. And not simply, so many other contestants simply use their first turn moving towards their opponent and, frankly, certain death.
Well, there might be certain death for Ziz yet.
Not yet. No, not yet. Now, we've got the moment coming up here that I think might win, were this a footballing programme, might win one of the players. I honestly don't know who. The golden boot. Because this moment really made it for me. Do you want to say anything about it beforehand, or should we?
Well,
not
I think this is a contender for goal of the month.
Absolutely.
So let's hear what happens. It's an exciting a bit of byplay.
Right. So basically, what I would like to do is basically get up there and hit him with a stun spell.
Okay.
Oh.
Basically, that's how many willpower points do you want to use on that stun spell? Because that would be the number of dice you get to roll.
Let's live dangerously.
All three. Okay. So, fine. So basically, you can't fail.
Yeah.
But if you roll sixes, you get overcharged. If you roll ones, things are bad are going to happen to you, probably. Magic is a dangerous thing in this game.
One of each.
Okay, so it's overcharged and a mishap. So the overcharge, what does that do, Matt?
On stun, that would give you the ability to do 2 points of damage, and you can choose, given that you're swinging in this general direction, you can choose to give 1 point of damage to each of these people on their agility, or two to your original target.
Well, it's 1 point of damage per power level I did.
Oh, so I did three, so it's three you could do.
Three.
Plus one.
Plus one, yeah. So you can do two each, or four to one person.
What happens when somebody's stat is...
They're broken.
That's bad.
All of them, all four to him then.
Oh, poor
Grimer. Okay. Does he get insight resistance?
But he does get some resistance.
Yeah.
Let's just deal with your...
Well, let's do that first. So the insight resist, whilst we're on this.
What's your insight skill?
Insight is zero.
Zero.
And the stat?
Is wits. So
it's
three.
Three, yeah.
So you roll three of those dice.
And you need one success, otherwise you're broken.
Come on. No.
Okay, you can push it.
I'm definitely going to push it.
You'll take 1 point of damage.
Yeah. I will take one.
Yeah.
You'll take one.
I'll push my two dice and I hope for a six. Oh.
Okay. So take 2 points of damage to wits as well as the 4 points of
agility. And Nils is down.
Grimer is not doing well.
Right.
That's not a good start. Okay, but now you got your mishap.
No, magic mishap. I'm just looking for a magic mishap. So I can't find it.
Because this is potentially bad. So you need to roll D66. That tell us, say which dice. A 10's black.
Black is 10.
And high is bad. 66! You're dead.
Your magic rips open a rift to another dimension, and a demon pulls you over to the other side. Time to make a new character. Your old character will come back as an NPC after D66 days, but will be changed.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So it's 1v1.
I've ended up with a better one.
It's not often that goal of the month is actually two goals. The goal being... finding the back of both teams' net at the same time, is it?
It was just...
Which is why role-playing games are so much better than football.
Well, I love both, but I do probably more role-play than football, that's for sure. No, it's brilliant. I mean, did I say earlier that using magic was a bit dangerous? Particularly if you roll in the 60s? And that was just so funny. Bish, bash, bosh. You know, one guy down... one player out of it entirely, and victory to Ziz, who was the last person standing. Interesting. I did have a bit of a quandary. We had discussed it before the tournament, but this is one that I'm not sure we could have got around easily, which was if by happen chance Justine and Chris had happened to win that fight, if Chris had managed to stay on his feet and won, what do we do in the semi-final? Seeing Talene is long gone.
We really needed Ziz to win here.
But it was great.
Because Justine comes back after D66 days, totally changed, rolled up a new character. Or something like that.
Exactly.
I guess we could have just rolled up a new character for Justine. That might have been the thing to do.
But you're right. It was an excellent fight and definite strong contender. For goal of the month.
Goal of the month, indeed.
Death of the day.
And so shall we just listen before moving on to round four, how Ziz wins?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what
probably your only option.
It's pretty much my only option, yeah. Cover didn't work.
No.
Cool. Is it my
so it's your action, Ziz?
What happens if I drop a cauldron on his head?
It'll be a ranged attack with a cauldron. You're probably better off just shooting him, but it's quite fun though. If you want to do that, you get no gear bonus for the cauldron.
We're half an hour behind time. I think shoot
him. Okay, fine. I'll shoot him.
Okay, so it's the same set of dice as last time. So you get one black die now.
Yeah.
Yep. You get one less. Sorry, two less yellow dice because your agility's been damaged.
Okay.
But you still get your skill, which is three, plus your sharpshooter.
Cool.
Like your big poppy dog arm.
Don't shoot me.
Ziz the Goblin does not care.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, two successes.
Two successes. That's three damage. Two damage to strength.
I think that's me down.
You're down. Oh, okay.
Good shot.
We have a
good
win.
Winner!
So, we've now got three of our semi-finalists all sorted out and licking their wounds, getting ready for their next bout. Who would join them in the semi-finals when we came into bout number four? So this one, we had our father and son team, Frank and Joseph, playing Robert, who was a sorcerer, and Pip, a hunter, against Mike and Madonna, who we think her name is Helen.
Yep.
Sorry, Helen, if your name isn't Helen. We only knew you was the name of your character on the day, Madonna. So we're going to call you Madonna.
Yes, because you replaced Anil, who had rolled up a character,
yes,
hadn't he?
Absolutely, yeah.
But then couldn't make it.
And
he, too, was from the Rusty Quill. So Mike and Helen, or Madonna, were very much Team Rusty Quill,
indeed,
weren't they?
And they were both playing Asleen Hunters. So we had another double hunter group fighting in the last round, trying to get to the semi-final.
And Joseph's Pip, I think he's another sorcerer, isn't he?
That is correct. You're right. I've got my notes.
Well, let's hear them introduce
themselves.
My
notes are all wrong. You're right. Pip is the sorcerer, not Frank.
Yeah, sure. I'm Mike. I play Tim from Magnus Archives, and I'm also the head of video production for the Rusty Quill.
Okay. I'm Helen. I play Azu on the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. That's a short enough introduction, right?
Yeah.
And your character in the game?
Oh, my character is now called Madonna.
Yeah.
And she's a hunter.
She is.
And that's...
What's your kin, out of interest?
My kin? Asleen human.
Okay.
Do I need to introduce my character as well?
Briefly, yeah.
Briefly. So I'm Bradley Lotherwaite, the hunter, who is also an Asleen human.
So we're two similar...
Brother from another mother, something like that.
Okay. I'm Fred Connolly, and I'm an Asleen. My name is Robert the Pig Killer.
Nice.
I'm Joseph Connolly. My character's name is Pip. I'm an Alderlander, and my profession is a sorcerer.
Excellent. Ooh. So, as you are being brought towards the square, the slaver's...
Pip's not just a sorcerer, but a sorcerer who scores an early point, and then... Mike.
Bradley,
that's confusing because it sounds so normal. Bradley pushes his role to get some revenge for Pip's early point. Let's listen to that.
I'm going to use...
Use magic.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to go with a Chill of the Grave.
Okay.
So, how many willpower points do you want to spend on Chill of the Grave?
Two.
And who are you casting it on? I think it's...
Madonna.
Madonna!
I didn't do anything to you.
I'm
just standing here with an interesting top on. Okay.
Okay, so you need two dice. Oh, we'll use the yellow ones, actually. You can't fail, but if you get... Okay, so that's a success.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to find Chill of the Grave.
Who's that?
There we go. You let the unrelenting cold of death seep into your victim.
Victim
becomes cold, which has an effect.
But not in this time frame.
Immediately suffering 1 point of damage to both strength and wits.
Okay.
Is that per power?
Two strength.
It continues to suffer 1 point of damage to these attributes each round until the total amount of damage to each attribute equals the power level. So how many power do you spend?
So you'll take that again next round, Madonna.
Lovely.
Oh,
this is what I wanted.
Goodness.
Where do I find my willpower, by the way? Because I can't see it on the sheet.
No, willpower is just on the bottom.
Start with three.
Five points.
Good start.
Okay.
So the fight's moving on really well here. It's pretty close stuff. But Madonna has some really interesting improvised play in mind, and is trying to do something a little bit unusual.
Yes. Okay.
I think that's going to be a negative modifier.
I think so too. Yeah. Not designed as a melee weapon, really.
It's a marksmanship roll, which is two. Plus agility is three. Because you're throwing a thing. Anything thrown is marksmanship.
But I think you lose one of those marksmanship dice for that.
But I think you probably do lose one of those marksmanship. Well, be kind. I'd almost say two. But
after this, you're potless.
Okay. You don't want to be
so
without
you so you've got one marksmanship dice. Your agility was affected, wasn't it? Or was it wits?
It was my strength and wits.
Strength and wits,
so
yeah.
Four those dice.
Okay.
And you don't get any bonus for cool.
So it's just these five?
Yep.
It's not a plus one.
Helen, I believe. I believe. I'm holding the food.
Thank you.
Ooh,
wow, done.
Big time.
Oh, okay. Really?
The big time, yeah.
I have no idea how to read these dice.
So these are sixes, so you've got two successes. If you wish, you can push.
Yeah.
But you might take damage.
But you might take damage.
From those dice.
Yeah, it's only one shot, isn't it?
Yes! Okay, Joseph, you get the chance to dodge, because you've still got a fast action left. Which would be a move roll. So for your agility and move, if you've got a move skill.
You've got three agility.
But no move. And basically each success will reduce their success by one.
Okay. So
I think if it hits you with that lot right now, it might kill you.
So what's your strength?
Two.
It's agility. So we need three
damage.
Three yellow.
Three yellow. And no move. You've got...
So you need two successes, I think.
No!
Okay, so you've been hit with this thing. One, two, three. That's four damage to your strength.
Oh my gosh. My pot.
So that pot lands right on your head.
Okay. That's a blunt force, isn't
blunt force, yeah.
Shall we let Joseph roll that? Say which
This is your critical hit.
Which is tens?
Which die first? Do you want to roll it again?
This one.
Roll again, and then to move
to green.
You're
being very kind, since that was a six.
Don't get a six in the green one.
21. Broken nose.
Oh.
So you've got a broken nose. Oh. Doesn't do... that much damage, but you have minus one to any manipulate skills.
No, but he's down on strength. So
he's not dead. Worse than that,
he's
dead.
He's
not dead. He's just broken with a broken nose.
Yeah.
But he is out for the count.
Okay.
Oh, wonderful. Avenge me.
Okay. If you've got any healing, you can. If there's, there's some characters with an ability to bring people back from broken.
No, okay. But I have a cloak. I'm wrapping that around my left hand.
Well, I think Joseph or Pip. Really took that early exit with the grace that every role player should aspire to when they die.
Yes,
particularly you, Dave. you don't take an early crit terribly well. Joseph's behaviour be a lesson.
Once
to you.
I didn't take an early crit well when I'd spent months building a character and a background and everything. Anyway, yes, fair enough. But death by cooking pot. That's a first for me, and it was an excellent bit of improvised play. I guess Madonna didn't have much else to work with, and chucking a couple of kilo weight cooking pot across the arena, it worked. It worked very well.
It worked. It did the job.
It did.
There's some more improvised weaponry coming up in this last segment from this match.
It's like if you were to attack someone in a home convenience store.
All right.
So he's now, you've covered him with a blanket. You've knocked him to the ground. He's kind of on top of him. He can't, all he can do in his next action is try and break out of your grapple.
It's like a nightmare in IKEA.
You two do have the ability to do whatever you want him.
But
now,
Frank's action though, so.
My action.
So your action to try and break out.
So I guess I have to try and break out. So what do I roll? One dice again.
Is it the same as last time? Yep, so it's one dice.
What's that?
That's a one. You can't push it.
Oh,
no. Well, I mean, yes, but...
So, the four heats over. Two teams left... four teams left standing, I should say. The first two teams who are left standing for the first semi-final are Matthias's Dorothy and her orc teammate, pitted against the guys from Pretending with Dice, AJ and Donny. And actually, I've got to say, Donny tries some improvisation himself.
I think you can pick up a rock with a fast action, yes.
Can I throw a rock at one of them?
You can.
Wouldn't that be two actions, though?
Well, one's a fast action to pick it up, and one's a slow to throw it.
Wouldn't throwing be fast? Because
no, it's not. It's an attack.
It's about taking the swing, aiming, and all
that. So which one are you throwing in at?
I will throw a rock at my fellow peddler.
So, Donny and Dorothy are hard at it and not getting too far in taking each other out. What about AJ and the unnamed orc? Let's see what happens here.
Darn.
So you can push that if you wish.
There's no damage. There's no damage there yet. It's only if you roll a one on the yellow dice that you get damage.
Yeah, push it.
If you push it and roll four ones, you obviously take four damage.
Ah.
So any ones you roll now will convert to damage.
Oh, that's risky, isn't it?
But otherwise you've missed with your attack.
You want to count? Does it cost anything else to push? A will or
no.
No. Okay, we need to go on the offensive, right?
Yeah.
And he has got zero armor, so
yeah.
There we go.
Okay, so
two for you, one for me.
Yeah.
Right.
What did you hit him with?
A dagger.
A dagger. Yeah, so that is two for you.
That's two for me, so I'm at zero strength.
So you're down.
No,
so
broken. No. I have one damage.
Yeah.
Yep.
But two. Plus another success.
I have two successes.
No,
yes.
That gets you one damage.
That's the normal damage,
and then any other successes you get to. Or it might get you.
No, it would have been three.
Either way,
he's down. Yeah. Either way, he's down now.
Yeah.
Unlucky.
And he's been stabbed.
So we get a critical roll.
Roll 2d6.
Roll d6
to 6. Something which is 10s.
Yellow's 10s. So 52.
It's going to be painful.
Oh, that's not good. I mean, that's really, really good.
Bleeding gut. You are likely to be dead in 1d6 hours.
Hours?
2 hours.
Two hours to go, he says.
Hey, it was nice knowing
you. Okay, next round. It's Donnie, it's your go, next round.
So I think I should start by... I should start by mounting my donkey. Legs.
AJ's been taken out by the orc. Donnie has got on his donkey. I'm not entirely sure what the peddler plans to do on his donkey.
No, me neither. But let's have a listen.
But the other peddler... Dorothy knows exactly what she's going to do about it.
I'm going to test the creativity of the GM and the system here. So I've got animal handling, 2.
Okay.
So
you're going to say,
I want to poke the donkey in a way that makes
the donkey
it poke through this little loser to the ground, and preferably like be scared and run away.
Have you got animal handling?
I do. I have 2 animal handling.
I think this would be a
opposed role.
Okay.
So your animal handling is
2, and then empathy. I have.
Oh, I'm not very empathetic.
And your empathy is what?
3.
Animal handling of 2 is
2.
So it's an opposed role.
Hey, legs, what you doing?
No successes here.
1 here.
So you can
one
push.
Success.
Can you have to?
Come on, legs.
No.
Take 1 point of damage to empathy as what happens?
Yeah.
You're the GM. What happens?
Yeah, no, you're not letting me get a word in edgeways, are you? Legs rears up, throws you off. Can you make a move roll to avoid taking damage from the fall, please?
Yeah, what am I rolling on?
So he doesn't buck him
That's agility.
So it was a 3 yellow, 4 yellow.
Yep. And move if you've got the skill.
No.
Okay.
You
do a little flip as you're getting knocked off and a spin in the air and land on your feet behind Legs, who's now scampered off around to the other side of the arena.
Hey, Legs, I knew yours was a mook.
Ouch! Knocking off, falling off your donkey and then being whacked around the head by an orc wielding a giant tree trunk. That's not going to go well, is it? Poor old Donnie. He was perhaps the most entertaining, yet the most irritating of every single character in the tournament. But all over for the guys from pretending with dice. Unlucky Benny AJ. That's what happens when you come up against
pretending with dice, guys.
That's what happens when you come up
all
against
all your
an
pretending
orc.
Experience. You should have done some real world orc fighting if you wanted to beat Sam and Matthias. So Sam and Matthias, of course, are through to the final.
They are. Who's going to join them?
In the second semi-final, we've got Grimer and Ziz. That's Nils, of course. So it could be a It could well be a what's the word I'm looking for? An in-house battle from Fela Gam. Simbaroom versus Forbidden Lands.
Against Bradley and against Bradley and Madonna. Don't forget the other team.
Ah, Bradley. Yes, so, yes. Bradley and Madonna on the other side. I forgot to mention them. And basically, it looks to me like Grimer carries on his tactics from the first fight, he goes off and hides and lets Ziz shoot.
Well, it worked. It worked last time.
It worked very well last time.
Well, let's see how well it works this time, shall we?
So I think I am going to actually just run straight ahead, and I'm going to push myself towards the wall and stand with the spear and looking above and to all sides.
Okay. That's about only about 3 or 4 feet, but you can crouch and do that.
I'll crouch and do that. Yeah, I'll put my spear up.
Okay.
But then I just wait.
I'm not going to shoot at this Grimer because he's kneeling behind a wall, so I'm going to shoot at Ziz. Sorry, Ziz.
What's your character's name?
Ziz. I just had a look over at the characters.
Makes life easy, doesn't it, I guess?
Right, so are all of our things reset back to base?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You're back to as you were.
Right, so 3 agility. Is that 3 green? 3 green for agility?
3 yellow.
3 agility. Yellow for agility.
Yeah. Green for your skill, marksmanship.
Green for skill, marksmanship, which is 3. And then I need...
Plus 2 if you don't.
Plus 2, yeah, and sharpshooter, which is plus 1.
I would agree.
Plus 1, that's an extra skill dice.
Nice. Okay.
Those fights can be very short sometimes. They're not always very short.
That doesn't feel good.
Ooh, they might be quite short this time.
I know.
1, 2.
Do you want to push that?
How many hits?
2. 2. Do I want to push it?
Sure, we always did last time.
I feel like, yeah. All right, fine, yeah, we're going to push it. Here we go.
I'll send you one time.
I'm still counting this as a one shot because it's so short.
Why not, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And if I die, hey, I'm glad.
There's a one, but there's another 2 sixes.
I think I'm dead.
Okay, you can try and dodge because you haven't had an action yet.
Yeah, I'm definitely going
to
do that.
Yeah.
So you take 1 damage to agility.
I take 1 damage to agility,
yeah.
Right.
And you dodge, so it's agility and move if you have move.
If you don't have move.
So it's just
to agility.
And what's your strength?
My strength is 3.
So you need, what's the damage of that?
4. The bow does 1 damage.
You need 2 successes.
Okay.
Come on.
Ooh.
Otherwise, it's.
Coitons.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. That looks kind of bad.
But you can push it?
You can, but I don't think it helps because. Oh, no, those are agility.
Yeah.
So, yes, you can push it. You have to.
I kind of have to.
You've got no choice, yeah. No. Okay, so you take 2 to agility for those.
Okay.
And you take 4 damage to strength.
Oh, that gives me -1.
And you're down.
I'm dead.
Oh, no.
Can you roll
2d6?
Sorry, Ziz.
That was a shock opening.
It's not the end yet.
It was.
Roll those 2 dice. Tell me which are 10s.
Ooh.
Sorry,
wait. There's d66, which...
Lower.
Roll again and say which one you want to read first.
Oh, sorry.
And low is good.
I'll do the yellow first.
Unless you want a heroic death, in which case high is good.
No, that's not low. That's 53.
No, that's not low.
And...
Can I drag someone with me?
Man, if we can get... my camera's just behind you, man. If I could get that on film.
All right.
It's a gut shot.
Oh!
1d6.
No!
You'll die within 5 hours.
Oh, let's get that.
If Nils can win this single-handedly, you'll be okay for the final.
Oh,
you
get
she did say that she wanted to take us down.
She did, and we took her down in one
shot. I'm going to run over to Ziz, take her bow, and turn her up as a shield. I'm going to have to wait.
It is cover. It gives you some armor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's still dying.
Yeah. Okay.
I need cover.
So you've got that. You're in cover and you've got the bow.
Yeah.
But that's your action for this round.
Action.
So, Mike.
I don't know how to react.
Jim!
I can't, he's holding
Zizza! No?
Who's your enemy?
Who am I just shot? Yeah.
Gives cover.
Don't start basically. Finding morality now.
Okay, fair point. Alright, fine, I'm going to shoot him.
Yeah.
Okay,
so same dice as last time.
So it's 3 yellow plus 3.
Unless
green.
Did you lose 1 agility?
No,
last
I did,
time?
Yeah, I lost 1 agility, so I need to not have 1 green, right?
So
or is it 1 yellow?
Lose a yellow, keep the green.
Use the yellow, keep the green. I get 1 for sharpshooter, which is green.
Yeah.
I get
1 for the bow, is it?
1, yeah.
2 for the
plus
bow.
2 for the bow, which is yellow?
Black.
Green.
Black.
Black.
so good at
this. Is that right? That's, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Right. Let's just say that is.
So cover works as armor, so I think it'll give you 6 points of armor.
6 points of armor?
Oh, wait,
yeah, but it's completely behind, it's completely behind another body.
A tree trunk gives you five.
I don't think I include...
A what?
A wooden tree trunk gives you 5 points
of armor. All right, give me five.
I forgot sharpshooter.
Shall we go?
So get sharpshooter, another one.
I think, what's your marksmanship?
So my marksmanship is three.
You should have four green dice.
I have four green dice.
Right.
Two, yeah, okay. Right, fine, good.
Is this for no mechanical benefit? Is looking
two hits.
Is,
two
is,
hits.
Is haunting you while she dies horrifically.
You
want
to push that?
Do you feel like yeah?
All right. Why stop now?
Why stop? Well, there's a reason for that. Okay, here we go. Oh. There's a one there as well.
There's one. So there's your one. Bow goes down to minus to plus one.
Plus one
bonus now.
And it does three damage.
Oh,
but
and
you get five black die or
I
five
think,
dice.
I think just get a roll because it's your body. She's
being the cover.
So
yeah.
Five dices.
Which ones?
Any actually doesn't matter. So,
okay.
So you need sixes. Every six you get reduces.
Well, I'm not sure if she needs sixes. I need sixes.
Yeah, take all of the arrows.
Yes. There are sixes that are needed.
I did not do that.
Oh,
well.
Oh,
three.
That's one more, right? No, five. Okay.
Yeah.
No, and you can't push armor.
No, I'm
okay.
Sorry.
That's three damage.
Yes. I hold you up badly, and I get hit.
Oh. Are you still? Are you
he's
still
down.
Up?
You got three strength.
I got three strength.
So you're down to zero. Yeah, you're down.
This was a bad round.
You end up in a
would you like to roll 2d6 and tell me which colour is
okay.
Tens?
Tens, black is tens. 52.
Everyone's being gut shot today.
62?
52.
Yeah, another gut shot. Straight through her.
Oh, so I
pinion together.
I never do anything.
Just at least it's the pleasure of dying.
Well, of course. This is the other contender for Goal of the Month, isn't it?
Well, it's not own Goal of the Month, but Goal of the Month.
It isn't own Goal of the Month. Yeah, maybe we could have two Goals of the Month. But what a shot.
Yeah.
And Ziz, who I thought, with her clever tactics in Heat 1, was a favourite of mine, I thought she was going to last longer.
Frankly. Well, I mean, being one-shotted, you know, she took it really well. Again, it's one of the occupational hazards of playing a free league game. That you might get one-shotted if you're a bit unlucky. And that was, again, showed the power of a hunter with his big bow. That's deadly,
yeah.
Really deadly.
And, of course, Bradley did have that sharpshooter talent,
yes,
as well. So he was getting an extra dice on that. Well,
yes, but then... I would just like to comment that, you know, Nils's performance has been kind of below par. And you know, his death, I think, was entirely appropriate, being skewered, having the arrow going through his teammate already, who he was hiding behind because he had nowhere else to hide.
Yeah. And remember, she was alive at this time. It wasn't like he was picking up a dead body. She was broken, but alive.
Yes.
And he used her as armour. And you wanted to give him 6 points of armour for that as well.
Oh, big,
six
being
points.
Generous. Well, it's a lot of cover. It's a lot of cover.
Yeah.
That's, yes.
Yeah, I think I persuaded you to give him a bit less. But he got what he deserved.
He
Nils, you got what
he
you
got
deserved.
Nil.
Nils
got nil.
Nil, yes.
Nil point for Nils. Right. Well, that took us through, though, to a final. A final between Team Rusty Quill and Mateus and Sam. And with a live studio audience, which was excellent. There was a little aside. One of the problems of having a live studio audience in a little room like that, where actually the lighting controls for the rest of Dragon Meat were, is that if one of your audience members leans on the lighting control, he turns the lights off for the entire place. Other than our room.
In the rest of the... Not in our
not
room.
In our room.
No, our room is fine.
So we had
everywhere
so
else.
We had a very nice but slightly grumpy looking dragon meat fellow come in to tell us not to lean on the light switch anymore halfway through the recording. But I am digressing away from the main event. The fight.
And the other thing actually with that live studio audience, as we'll hear, you had to encourage them to get into the spirit in your introduction.
Yeah, I mean, they were being very polite and patient and just, you know, watching. So yeah, let's have a bit of team chanting going on.
Right. So you this time,
yeah,
you're not brought in chains. You're brought in on sedan chairs.
Oh,
the guards,
the crowd
are clapping you, cheering you. You've given them a great afternoon's entertainment. And then Mateus and Sam, you're brought onto this side, and you're just dumped out of the chair. And the same for Madonna and Mike over here. And the guards walk off. You've got everything that you've had at the end of the last game. And as before, the lady of the town stands up on the awning, lifts her handkerchief into the air, throws it up. The crowd roars. And who goes first? Sam, it's your action.
Roar.
Oh, God, you can't get a crowd for love nor money, can you?
You got.
So Bradley, the Asleen archer, gets off in much the way that he has been throughout this match, taking advantage of his excellent bowcraft. Let's hear him shooting Dorothy.
I'm going to shoot Dorothy.
Okay.
At range. I'm going to try and stick to my strengths. And this time, I preloaded the dice. That is correct, right?
Yep.
so... Here we go.
Fine cover.
Yeah, he's got a bit of cover, yeah.
A little bit of cover.
Good luck, Mike.
So that's one success, two successes and a fail.
So that takes one off your bow.
Yeah. So that's okay.
Was it plus two to begin with?
No, two fails.
Two. No, that one doesn't count. Don't worry about the green ones.
Okay.
So that's two successes.
Shall I push it?
Yeah, also this is yours too.
Oh, sweet. right, okay. I know what I'm doing.
It's okay.
It's not
that big of a deal.
Roll the dice. So nothing happens. There's no extra.
Okay. So the damage for the bow is one or
yes.
two. One.
Yeah.
So
well, it's one.
You get
now,
five dice, Mateus,
yeah.
of armor for your cover.
The yellow or green or
any
dice.
You just want to roll sixes. Yeah. Every six you get takes off one of his dice. Is that none?
None.
Okay,
one damage.
That's two damage. Two damage to strength. Because he got two successes.
Yay. No, one cancelled out.
Did you get one six?
No.
Didn't it cancel? He had a fail as well.
That damages
my bow, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is to strength.
To strength, yeah.
So, Dorothy, surviving this point, has now decided again to use her Path of Many Things peddler talent, and this time she finds a discarded hand axe.
In her knapsack?
No. In the dust. There are just weapons lying around everywhere if you take a moment to look for them. You know, Dorothy looks twice as she finds a knife and a axe. You know, it'd be somebody else looks and finds themselves an M60 or something. Right.
No, because nobody else has got the Path of Many Skills talent and the knapsack, which we forgot about.
But Dorothy finds this discarded axe.
Matt can find a dagger, or a hand axe, or a large wooden club, or a short spear.
For two W.
Sure.
Okay,
so it's same points. Damage and same bonus on all of them.
The hand axe is quite
good.
Asking
me one.
The hand axe looks good. Plus two bonus, isn't it?
Hand axe had a plus two bonus, so that's the better one. And
plus
two
black dice, yeah.
Okay.
So
I dig up a hand axe from...
Yeah, so that's
one action. Right?
That'll be your fast action, yeah.
That's fast action?
I think so.
I think that's a slow action.
Yeah,
right.
Action. Yeah. No, that's fair enough.
Spend weepy...
Don't think that says, but you're right, it will be. Because you are searching for stuff rather than just picking something up.
I don't want to say
it
the whole time.
It felt
like
it should be.
Yeah.
But I'm staying behind my.
Okay. So I think.
Down.
Sorry, Mateus. That's your whole turn. I think I ruled earlier on today that was the whole turn.
So Bradley, the Asleen hunter, with his archery skill, seems to be clearly the most dangerous player in this match, or is he?
Okay. Next round.
And I was ready.
You're ready till you get extra bonus to the damage.
Okay, so.
So it's five yellow dice, one green, two. You did lose one damage on your big, huge log thing, which is beginning to splinter because you hit people so much with it.
It's
just one now. Roll that one again.
Okay.
That's two successes.
That's dealing damage.
So you can push.
with those if you wish. You've not got any damage coming to you yet.
Yeah, I'll try it.
One more.
Okay, so you get three successes, but you take two damage to strength.
Okay.
As a result, your log is now.
I think his log is now just
splintered,
hasn't
it? It's more of a stick.
It still works, but you get no bonus. If you take another one, then it's broken.
Okay.
So that's three hits.
So I've got a.
You can dodge.
Can I?
Which is a move. Athletics and move. Because it's a new round, you've got your actions back.
Athletics and
move. Not athletics, sorry.
Agility and move. So my agility is two. So that's those two.
And I don't have move.
There's two dice, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Well, every success knocks one success off.
Yeah, it's just pretty good. It's one success.
That's one. So that's two, three damage. Yeah.
Three damage to
strength.
Oh no, he's out.
Oh no!
That's it.
He's down.
Oh,
yeah.
Madonna's on her own.
He's down.
And I ask you to roll two dice with one different colour and tell me which is 10.
Alright, so green is tens.
63.
Oh no, he's 63. Dead of the dead.
Crushed knees. And it's lethal. You'll die within, well, 1d6.
5 minutes.
1 hour.
One minute.
Oh my God.
1 minute.
One day.
Okay.
1 day. Okay.
Normally at that level it's minutes.
Avenge me.
So he hits you. Sort of going, as you're dodging, he catches you on the knees. Your legs shatter. You spin in the air.
I got two. It's horrible.
Yeah, but that's
dealing
damage.
But
it's Matthias' go.
Yeah,
juggle my hand axe
and chuck it.
Take aim.
In good Scandinavian way.
Now you know what they're going to do. And one bonus.
So it's two bonus for the hand axe.
No, because you're right. But one in damage.
I just had to throw a stone and fail.
One damage.
Yeah. I think it's two damage for the hand axe.
Two damage.
Okay.
Whoa. Cool.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
Ready?
Come on.
Roll against the white toss. One.
Yeah,
want to push that?
But yeah, of course I am.
There is no doubt at this late stage.
and if I get two damage now, I'm out.
Okay, so. It's all getting very tense.
Oh.
One damage, two. Okay,
you're dead.
So two, three, four.
Unless
you
dodge.
Oh, I think so.
You might want to try and dodge.
Yeah, of course I'm dodging. I've only got.
But
so
what's the damage? Is it two
zero?
Plus two is a four in damage, right?
Yes, so it's two and then it's one for
you. Yeah,
but
I
want
to know how I know if I'm dying.
Yeah.
When
you add to strength, yeah.
Okay, so agility to dodge.
You will die if you fail this dodge.
Okay.
Do you have move skill?
No.
No, okay, just agility.
I've got nothing. Someone else wrote this character before me. I'm just working with what I've got.
I feel like singing, man.
Nothing.
You can push that, though.
Push it.
Otherwise, you're down.
What have you got to lose?
Literally nothing.
One success.
And one fail. But
so you take four damage to your strength in total.
No, three.
Oh, I'm
three.
Dead.
Plus one
plus
from pushing.
One.
Ah, okay.
Oh, no, that's sorry. Now that goes on agility.
One from your agility. But you're down. Can I get you to roll?
No, completely dead.
Two dice. Completely dead yet. Roll two dice, John, which is 10.
Yellow's 10.
54. It's all been nasty.
I think that's eviscerated, isn't it?
Ruptured intestines.
Yeah!
You'll die.
My hand
just died. What Mum always wanted.
It's a six.
I'm really starting to pull it.
You've got 6 hours of bleeding out.
That's so painful.
The crowd screams and shouts. And then
so
we have our winners.
He gets taken out.
We have our winners.
And we or do we?
Ah. And the lady on the awning stands up and calms everybody down and says, there could be only one.
I
really loved that idea that there could be only one at the end. And I've been waiting for weeks to say that and to see the looks on the players' faces. And that was brilliant. But yeah, there can be only one winner. We've only had one prize, so there can only be one winner. Who wins?
Dorothy or the orc? The unarmed peddler
or against the orc fighter carrying a tree?
Who's going to win this match?
who's your money on for this one?
I have one health left. So, okay.
I think I can spit and he dies.
Don't get too smug. You're not one of them.
So the thing is, if I run for that axe, I will have no chance of defending myself.
You'll have no actions left to dodge.
Yeah. No, so I run up to the corpse, but I don't grab the axe.
Okay.
So I save one quick action. Yeah. That's what I do.
Okay, Sam.
Okay,
and now you roll bad.
Yeah, I full go.
So you run after him, and then you hit him.
No, I was still next to her, so he's run next to the corpse anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair enough.
So I get bonus.
You get a free hack at him.
No, you don't get a bonus.
Because I'm already next to it, I don't have to move.
You don't have to move.
But he can swing his heavy
weapon.
You
can swing, yeah. That's very true.
So, yeah.
Get the extra damage. Yeah.
Okay.
So you get 3 yellow dice.
Yeah.
Is your melee...
You want a prediction?
What's your melee?
Is 1.
Prediction?
Melee is 1. And you get no black ones anymore because you think it's right.
You are going to...
Ooh. So that's a damage and no successes.
Bushes.
He's going for it. It's the courageous move.
Kill himself.
Oh, no. Okay. So you take
that was close.
2 damage to your strength, Sam. You're down to 1.
Yeah. I have a chance to
dodge, which is agility and move.
Agility only. 4 dice.
Yep. And you need to succeed. Well, at least well, as many as you can.
No, with 2. With 2. I need to succeed with 2. And I don't.
And you can't.
And 1.
Yeah, I can. If I push this and get 2.
You still
take 1 damage.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you've died.
Whatever happens, you take 1 damage.
That's 1 dice on agility.
That's agility. Yeah,
that's agility.
Yeah, so there's no harm.
So then I can push it.
You can. You need 2 sixes.
No. I get myself.
But we have a winner!
Well done, Sam, the unnamed orc. Who knew that a giant orc carrying a tree as his weapon would win? Hey, what a great effort that was.
Yeah, it was. It all seemed just actually, and it was great that we weren't having to give a copy of Forbidden Lands to
a person employed by Forbidden
Lands.
Exactly. Yes.
And that we didn't have to fudge that. And we got to say, actually, that, yeah, thanks to Freeligan, Free League, and to Nils, who actually presented the prize, Sam walked away with a copy of...
Forbidden Lands.
And in fact, we've got a little bit of that prize giving here.
You may recognise that this is Nils from Freeligan and Matthias from Freeligan, but from the newly formed...
Formerly Jernigan.
Bigger Freeligan now. You've got a prize, haven't you?
I do. I'm very happy that Matthias didn't win.
Yes.
That would be very important to give.
Send my prize anyway.
So here's the brand new game.
Thank you. Yay.
Excellent.
Nils, shall we give the dice to the last surviving winner of the other team as well?
Awesome, I actually used them as well. I have some dice for our podcast, which he gave me ones.
Yes.
So these are now your new dice.
Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Well played, Sam. Well done.
That was cool.
Well done, Sam.
Really?
That's your cue. So I'd just like to say a big final huge thanks to everybody who took part, to Nils and Matthias and to Free League for donating some prizes, which is really kind of them. That was excellent. And for getting stuck in and being part of the event as well. I'd also like to make a big thank you to my brother Tony, who was due to be playing in it but then stepped out when we had too many people, and then was an invaluable assistance to us running it. Actually, having 3 of us to help run it was a real boon. And then finally,
I thought you were going to GM and I was going to help you run it, but it
didn't really work out
that
way.
It did require 3 of us.
And the final, I'd like to say a really big thank you to me for being such a great GM. And did you hear that? you're just shocked.
I'm just letting it wash over me, mate.
Sorry, a great thank you to my partner in crime, Matthew, for being really good and not butting over me when I was talking too often. And but it was.
And you're doing the you're doing the winner's speech as though you're holding the Oscar. But we didn't let him do.
We should have got a recording of a winner's speech. Actually,
and I'm not sure he would have wanted
to. No, that's true. Anyway. He was too.
It was great
it
fun.
It was really.
And I'm just trying to think. I'd love to do something like that again next year. I don't know whether I've got the energy for it.
Well, I think I would love to do something similar. We'll have to have a think about how we manage it and what we might do. But we've got plenty of time to do that.
Talking of plenty of time, mate. last time we spoke, I gave you some homework.
Yeah.
Are you ready for that? I gave you a choice of essays this time. So I'm hoping you've chosen a really good one to finish the programme with.
Well, I think we've talked. Our anti-loquacity has not really kicked in. So I think we've probably got to finish
No.
it. But actually, no, I haven't done any work on either of them yet. Because as you well know, I've been a bit busy on another project. A special project, which we're not going to say.
Our secret project.
We're not
going
to say anything else about for now. Is, yeah, hopefully something that... we will reveal more about in due course. But I haven't forgotten the homework, and I have decided I will talk about mental critical hits in Coriolis using the rules that we've already got in Forbidden Lands, and I'll adapt that and talk about that as my homework for the next episode. And what's your homework?
And that will be in about 3 weeks' time.
What's your homework for the next episode?
So you don't need to give me homework for the next episode. I've got plenty to do, as you well know.
Hey, look, I'm not doing all that stuff and doing stuff for the podcast if you're not doing both. So I'll have a think and give you some homework in the meantime.
Right, well, you might think about that in the meantime, but we'll try and avoid doing it.
Yes, that's your attitude to your
PhD as
well, isn't it?
We're being anti-loquacious again.
Yes, I know.
We're being actually loquacious. We're not being short.
No.
So I think that's all from us this time.
It is.
There's another episode of the Simba Room Adventure to come out after this episode.
Yep.
Then we're a little bit short of actual plays until March, I think. So I think it'll only be episode 10 after the Simba Room episode that you'll hear our dulcet tones back in your ear off. In the meantime, I think it's time to say goodbye.
So it's goodbye from you. And it's goodbye.
And it's goodbye from him.
And may the god Rust watch over your bleeding body as it lies in the sun of Grindbow.
That'll do for me.
Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to The Coriolis Effect, presented by Fiction Suit with the RPG Gods, with music by Stars on a Black Sea, used with permission of Free League Publishing. Imagery from NASA and the Hubble Space Telescope, brought to you by Wikimedia Commons. Typeface is Code by Font Fabric.